more reliable one in terms of the chain of narrators. We have a direct order from the Imam. We cite this on every night of Ramadan. Of course, unfortunately, because of the timings and people, and especially this place, we have to leave at 10:30. We're doing it here before Maghrib time, and that's not at night time, but anyway. We've been told to recite this every night. Now, we said that the du'as that we receive from the Ahlul Bayt are not just things to read and there's going to be an effect. Let's just do it for thawab, for reward, for the day of judgment. That's not the point in them. The point in them is we need to understand them so that when we recite them, we're not just reading these words and reciting them. We are actually requesting what the Imam is saying. The words that he mentions, we are also requesting them. Right? It only happens with proper understanding. The first passage of the dua begins with hamd. Allahumma inni aftatuka thana'an bi hamdi. We said that this concept of hamd, praise as we call it, is constantly repeated in our daily lives. The Holy Quran opens just like this dua with hamd. The opening surah of the Holy Quran begins with hamd, which we're supposed to recite 10 times a day, at the very least. In ruku' we're supposed to say this, in sujood we're supposed to say this, before sujood we're supposed to say this, in tashahud it is recommended to say, and in tasbihat akhlat Fatimah al-Zahra, which I hope we're all practicing, that after our prayers we're saying these adhkar, which according to hadith, the tasbihat of Fatimah al-Zahra sallallahu alayha is an example of what the verse says. We have a verse in the Holy Quran that says, "Udhkurullah fikran kathira." Hadith says, this tasbih is one of those dhikr kathir verses talking about. Alright, we wanted to explain a little bit about hamd. What is hamd? What is this praise? One thing about it that we found in hadith was that it is the best way to be thankful. It is the best way to express shukr. Recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
So we started to talk about shukr a little bit. I want to give us a couple of effects of shukr. I wanted to have a deeper understanding of this, and then move on with the rest of what we're going to talk about. In the hadith, the effects of shukr, being thankful to Allah, are mentioned to be many. One of them is protection. One of the effects of shukr is protection. I'll read you the hadith. The hadith has other elements too. I'll try to explain, inshallah, and we'll move on. The hadith is from Imam al-Sadiq, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, according to this narration, ثَلَاثٌ لَا يَدُرُّ مَعَهُنَّ شَيْءٌ. There are three things. Three. If you have these three, nothing in the world can harm you. Pay close attention. The word is la yadur. Alright, I'm going to have to work with this word. Please bear with me. Dhar is when you lose something. Loss is dhar. If you have three things, nothing in the world is going to harm you. You're not going to lose anything. If you have these three, you're not going to lose anything. Let's see what they are. First one, الدُعَاءُ عِنْدَ الْكَرْبِ. Distress and sadness. We're faced in a lot of circumstances in our lives that we can't control but to be sad. Sometimes just nothing helps, right? For hours, we're just hit by it. Some people even hit the state of depression. And it's happening a lot out there. There's a lot of antidepressants. When somebody loses their job, for example, they're thinking about what in the world are they going to do with their mortgage, with their bills, with their family that they need to support. It's difficulty and what is sadness. You don't know what to do. When one loses a loved one, we feel sad. When we are disrespected sometimes, a lot of things happen that we are sad. That happens to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should know that. That's a fact. Right? That's a fact. Anything that happens to us in this world, it is brought upon us by Allah. This is a world of tests. We should get the notion that we want prosperity in this life, the extent and in a way that we don't face any difficulty and hardship. Get that out of your mind. You won't have it. In this world, it is not possible. Forget about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this about. So the Imam says, if you have this element, this is his first one, then you do dua during that time. Try to remember that state that you're in when you're very sad and nothing seems to help. Some, you know, the friend of yours tried to come and cheer you up and it doesn't work. I don't know if you've been in that situation. I definitely have. I'm sure everybody has. And no matter who talks to us, the wife tries to cheer you up, doesn't work. Husband tries to cheer you up, doesn't work. Friends, doesn't work. I just want some personal time. And a lot of people, when they're faced with these circumstances, what it leads to is this feeling of the loss of hope. People usually lose hope. That's why a lot of people, when they hit depression, you're afraid. If they don't have faith, you're afraid that they're going to commit suicide. They're losing hope. There's Muslims that sometimes God forbid you do it. You're supposedly believing them. The Imam says, look, if you have dua in that state of sadness, you're not going to lose anything. You know what? Actually, you're going to gain benefit. When the person, when we're feeling down, we're feeling sad, the heart is very ready, if we choose to have a very, very good connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feel that hopelessness, direct that feeling of hopelessness to everything except for God. Realize how when I relied on my job for sustenance, that was wrong. My job is not the one that gives me sustenance. I could lose it any time. I don't have any control over it. They could kick me out any time. They're not the ones that I can rely on. I can go beg them all I want. I'll just be looking like the dummy. I'll be looking bad. Direct the loss of hope towards everything but Allah. Realize that. And realize that the only true hope is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have that, instead of losing that hope and then causing us to make ridiculous decisions, get upset at everything, start cursing, start saying, why did God bring this about on me? Start being rude to my family members. Instead of that, I start to realize my faith is increased instead. I don't lose anything. Yeah, the job was taken away, for example, that loved one is gone, but I didn't really lose anything. Sustenance is going to be provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the only one that provides sustenance. Nobody else does it. Everything else is a means of providing it to you. Don't forget that. Now this, in such a state, instead of losing, if you do dua, if you talk to Allah, ask Him for help, you're not going to lose anything in that scenario. That's one, the first. The second one, the Imam says, when istighfaru 'inda dhanb. When we commit sin, okay, I talked about this a couple of nights. We are supposed to move in the direction of not committing any sins. But most of us are weak. We haven't gained the strength yet. The worst thing we can do is, after committing a sin, not repent for it. We have hadith that is going to throw one completely off path. Is adhan ala adhan. Committing sin upon sin without repenting. A lot of times we don't take, I didn't talk about this aspect of sin, we don't take sin as seriously as we should. Alright? We think we come to the masjid, we cry for Imam Hussein, we cry for Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayhi. Alhamdulillah, we do that, but we think that's enough. Okay, you know, everything's... That is great, but we're not taking it as serious as we should. There's a scary verse in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا السُّوءَ أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The end result of someone who commits misdeeds, commits sins, does wrong, his actions have effects. It is a result of these actions that one starts to deny the Ayatullah. What is the greatest ayat and sign of Allah? Yes, they are the greatest signs of Allah. They are Ayatullah al-Kubra al-Uzma, the real Ayatullah al-Uzma. The scholars that we call Ayatullah, Ayatullah al-Uzma, that's just the title. The real Ayatullah al-Uzma are the Ayatullah. Yes, this can lead to one rejecting the Ayatullah, not believing in them. Sins are very serious. Now, the Imam says, okay, you're weak. If you want it not to affect you, make sure you repent after the sin. If it slips, if we forget, if we're neglectful at that time, if we're reminded by God, watch out, this is not something you're supposed to do, but we go ahead and do it. Alright, the destruction is done, but there's still room. Repent. If you repent, you're not going to lose it. You will be going to paradise. There's verses of the Holy Quran that tell us that. The people who try their best to stay away from sin, then when they slip and it's not purposely done, they repent, Jannah is their home. We have verses of the Holy Quran. So this is the second one. Now the last one is what we're talking about. It says, وَالشُّكْرُ عِنْدَ النِّعْمَةِ. Besides the what, please?
No.
Ash-shukr inda an-ni'mah. If we have a blessing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with a blessing. If you're thankful for it, you will not lose the blessing. Question. But why is it so many times that when I receive it, I know, you know, I've heard this thing. Some of us, when we get a blessing, we like it so much. Whatever we heard religiously that may cause us to lose it, we make sure we stay away from it. We get a new car, Now you remember all the sadaqat, all the ayatul kursi, everything. You make sure, you know, I don't, this car does not go through a crash or anything like that. That's when we remember all of this. Alright? So at the beginning, whenever the thought comes, I start saying something good about it. Oh no, I may jinx this. So let me say, astaghfirullah. Something to get rid of the problem. Right? So one of the things that we hear is going to destroy a blessing is not being thankful for it. So as soon as we get a measure of my hope, say Alhamdulillah. Okay. Alright. We do that, but sometimes we still see apparently we lose the blessing. Don't we? Haven't you experienced that? I think I have. There's plenty of things that I've had, and I don't remember not saying Alhamdulillah on some of them at least. I can't claim that I've said all times, but end up losing it. The Imam says, if you do shukr and you're thankful, you're not going to lose it. I think it goes back to word loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya, these worldly things that He gives us, He gives and takes. Taking it is not necessarily a loss. We don't realize that. Let me give you an example. If you have billions of dollars in the bank account, alright, and you take half of it, or three-fourths of it out, for business, you give it away, right? And it's going to give results 2 years down the line, right? You invested. You haven't lost your money. You're going to gain it back plus more 2 years down the line. You're just investing it right now. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you've done shukr of your blessing, you've thanked Allah for the blessing, He may take that worldly aspect of it, but He's investing it for you in a bank that you're going to see the result in the day of judgment. As if you're thankful for the blessing. So don't think you've lost things. Don't say that, oh, I said thank you, I said Alhamdulillah, why did I lose that? You didn't lose it. You lost it in this dream. And of course, by the way, it depends on the rest of what we do until the end of our life. Alright, so this is the first effect that I wanted to talk about a little bit that we have in this heaven. Protection. We're not going to lose anything if we have these three things. Another effect of shukr is not only do you not lose, it increases your blessing. The hadith that we recited yesterday, that was from the Torah, the Imam was quoting the Torah, I read part of it, I want to read the rest of it. After saying that whenever somebody blesses you with something, thank them, and whenever somebody thanks you, bless them with something, the Imam says, فَإِنَّهُ لَا زَوَالَ لِلنَّعْمَا There is no end to the blessings that you have had. If we keep thanking, the blessings are going to come non-stop. If we are thankful. Then of course, the effect of not thanking, very quickly I should say here, says, وَلَا بَقَاءَ لَهَا إِذَا كَفَرْتَ. If you're not thankful, there's not going to be any continuation of the blessings. It's two-sided. If we are thankful, we're going to receive more blessings. If we're not thankful, we're going to lose the blessings. And the last point that the Imam says in this hadith, he says, "Ash-shukr," repeating the same thing differently. Ziyadatun fi ni'am, thanking is increase in the blessings, the other part of it, wa aman min al-ghaib. And it is a security of the blessing changing. Remember the passage of the dua, dua al Khomeini is a very beautiful dua. Very beautiful dua. One of the passages that's towards the beginning of the dua is asking forgiveness for sins. Let me remind you of what we said last night. We said, what the Imam says, shukr, the major part of it is refraining from sins. That's the first. Then saying Alhamdulillah is the completion of shukr. Saying Alhamdulillah alone is not going to be enough. Staying away from sin is the first part of shukr. And by the way, that is the reason why sometimes we lose the blessings because of these sins. The assumption that we were making was we're losing a sin if we're being thankful to it. And we said that that's not really losing it, we're going to gain it back in the hereafter. But if we're losing it because of sin, this is a completely different story. And a lot of our blessings we are losing. In Dua al Khomeini, the Imam, when he's speaking to Allah, he asks forgiveness for the sins. There's a few different ways he words it. One of them is this, Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tughayyiru na'am. Oh Allah, forgive me of the sins that change the blessings that I have. God forbid if the blessing of the love of the Ahlul Bayt is changed in our hearts. Then we've lost a great deal. We've lost a great deal. So, one of the things that we just talked about is this. If you thank Allah, not only are you not going to lose, you're going to gain. And if you don't thank, we're going to lose blessings. And let's not forget the context of our talk. We're talking about du'as. Many of our du'as start with some form of hamd, either by the word hamd, like dua al-iftitah and many other ones, or by expressing some other form of praise, like in dua al-iftitah, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasa'at kulla shay. We're asking by a blessing that he has, but we're praising him at the same time for the blessing that he has provided to us. We're praising him there. Alright, question. But one thing that we do a lot in our understanding of Allah is that we compare him to ourselves. Now here's something wrong that we do in this case. Have you ever tried to get something from someone? Some people are really good at it. Some people are really, really good at it. I'm probably one of the worst. Okay. When I want to go do something like a good cause, like let's say for example for the masjid. Right? You want to fundraise for the masjid. Some people know how to go sweet talk a person who has the money to give. Some people know the truth really well. They go and butter them up really well, and they're willing to empty their pockets almost for the cause. Others like me, no. If I start talking to you about that, people probably go and pick up their money out of their pockets and leave it. They'll take it back. I'm not good at that. So don't ever put me in charge of that. I'm not good at that at all. And by the way, if I were to talk about it, I would never say, please come and help. I would always say, look, it's your responsibility Islamically. It's not for anybody's profit. Right? It's for your own benefit and it's your responsibility. Anyway, some people are really, really good at going and speaking to people and convincing them to give. One of the ways they do it is I say to butter them up. They start praising them. Right? Has anybody done that to you? They've done that to me. I've lost things. Some guy came to me once. I had made this ring in Iran that it had two stones on top. It had a fuza and a door. And I had ordered it. It was really, really nice. I really liked it. I went to the masjid once, and his brother, you know, he said, oh, mashallah, that's such a nice ring, and, you know, you're such a great brother. I don't have any rings. You have two, you know. I was like, okay. Here you go. Don't do that to this one, all right? So I gave it. The next day, he came, he had three or four rings. He was like, oh, man. So they praise you first. They take something you have that sometimes you really like. Sometimes you regret it afterwards, sometimes you don't. But the way to do it, to get somebody to give you something, is you praise them for it. That's one of the ways. Now, don't learn these bad tricks that are to convince people to do things they don't like to. And if you don't do that, you go to them rudely and say, give me this. How are they going to treat me? Get away from me. Who are you? Comparison, that is wrong. We see that in the dua. It says, look, if you want to ask God for something, praise Him first. Right? Alhamdulillah. Praise Him. Not just a simple praise. Look at dua al-fitr. It's pages of praise. Then you start requesting for things. Okay. And the verse, when you recite the verse, it kind of, you know, makes this, how make this comparison even deeper. Verse 7 of Surah Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ تأذن ربكم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم. If you're thankful, I will give you more. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. But if you're not thankful, I will punish you. I will give you a long line of the ahadith that we just talked about. Okay, now, some people, I heard this, and a lot of us may be thinking of this. Then why is it that God wants us present? Is it like the same concept? Is it that God likes hearing us praising Him? That's how some of the atheists put it. I don't know if you've seen their arguments. Like, who is this God that tells you to come and worship Him like this, face this direction, put your head down on earth, go in that heat in Saudi Arabia, some people get killed, go around this house? How are you supposed to do that? Who's this God that's making you do that? So some of us who believe, we're like, okay, you know, it makes God feel good. Al-Ayyadu Billah. That's what comes to mind, logically, kind of. Because we're always comparing Him to ourselves. Is that right? Definitely not. Let me recite the other verse for you, so we can have a deeper understanding. The other verse, in Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes Luqman. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. We gave Luqman the wisdom that he said, thank Allah. Then he says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. And whoever thanks is only thanking God for themselves. They're not benefiting God. And whoever disrespects and does not thank, then Allah doesn't need your thanks at all. How do we put these together? How do we understand the concept of thank? Why are we thanking? If He's really needless of this, then why are we supposed to thank before we ask? Why are we supposed to say Alhamdulillah before we ask? What's the point? Besides that, what is there's a few things that come to mind. I don't claim here that we understand everything. Well, I understand everything. We'll talk about it a little bit and say a couple of things that come to mind. But this is a very deep thing. Think about it yourself, see how much you can understand. One of the effects of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the way we've been taught to, let's not forget, how are we we supposed to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember the phrase that we're supposed to say? It is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Have you ever thought what Alhamdulillah means? Some of us may have heard this, but do we really understand it? Alhamdulillah means there is no one worthy of praise in this universe except for Allah. That's what it really means. This is Alham, all of praise is to Allah. If somebody has a good voice, that praise belongs to Allah, not to him. If somebody has a good brain, that praise belongs to Allah, not to him. If someone looks good, that praise belongs to Allah, not to him. Whatever you think is worthy of praise is not actually worthy of praise. It is only and only Allah that is worthy of praise. This goes back to the concept of Tawheed. Anything good in this universe goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? Now, coming back to the concept of Hamd. Hamd is acknowledging that all of that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what the benefit is? The verse said, whoever thanks Allah is going to be for them, not for God. It's not going to be, let's get this straight in our minds. There's no way, even if we wanted to benefit God. There's absolutely no way. He's infinite. He's flawless. There's nothing that we can complete. There's nothing that he doesn't have that we would want to give him. He doesn't have any feelings. His feelings are ours that have changed. Somebody smiles to me, I get happy. I see an angry face, I get depressed. That's me. It's not God. I hear people talking how great I lecture, I feel good about it. People start criticizing, I feel depressed. That's me, not God. We can criticize all we want based on our limited understanding, his creation, and say, why in the world is this the way it is? We can do that all we want. It's not going to hurt him one bit. We say Alhamdulillah, we're acknowledging that all good comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, one thing in our lives is this. If we don't know the source, where to refer to for something, we're not going to go to the source. If somebody hands you something, okay, gives you $5,000. Hypothetically, no one's going to do that in this day and age, of course. But let's just say, somebody gives you $5,000. Right. If you think that person gave it to you, and you think they have the resources to give you more, you're going to constantly grow the person you get. If you know that that person didn't really give it to you from themselves, that $5,000 was given by somebody else, they didn't really give it to you directly, alright? They gave it to this person, he gave it. He has nothing. If he could have $5,000, he wouldn't be living the way he does. Alright? He doesn't have that. That's not the source. The source is somewhere else. You would go to that source. A lot of times we don't do things because we don't know the source. We don't know where to refer to. If we don't get this right, if for our sustenance we refer to the wrong person, well, we've lost the source. We haven't gone to the right source. Allah is the only one that can give you anything in this world. Any good in this world can only be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we acknowledge that, then we can gain all good. If we don't acknowledge that, it will be problematic. Of course, not for the blessings of the dunya. You may ask, okay, wait a second. The verse says, لَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Well, the hadith said, if you don't thank Allah for a blessing, there's not going to be any continuation to it. Another question that sparks in the mind is, well, there's a lot of people that don't only sin, they don't even accept God. People out here, come on, let's make a simple comparison between the Western countries we're living in and between the Muslim countries. Very simple, you don't have to think too much. You don't need to know too much about them. Very simple comparison is that they're living a much better life, world life, dunya life, the way it was apparently. They got better cars, better highways, better jobs, better money. They can do a lot of things that we can't over there. How does that work? There's a difference between what we call the blessings of this dunya and the true blessings. We've all heard the verse and we say it so many times, I don't know how much we understand this. Have you ever thought of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim has two traits mentioned there about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim. There's a difference between ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim, although the root of the word is the same. Rahman, blessing, being merciful. The difference between Rahman and Rahim is that Rahman means continuously giving. Rahim is someone who gives a lot. The continuous giving is what everybody receives. The dunya, brothers and sisters, you don't have to be a believer to receive this dunya. Actually, let me recite a verse for you. Recite some. Watch these. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أننا نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم. إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب. Don't think that the blessings, including the blessing of life, we're not taking their lives, we're giving them even more blessings. ذرهم في طغيانهم يعمهون. Allow them, let them be the way they are, let them do worse for themselves. Don't think that us giving them more is blessing them. No, that's not blessing them. We are only providing this so they can do worse for themselves and destroy their hereafter. It's not a blessing. The dunya is not necessarily a blessing. If it's given to you, it's not necessarily a blessing. It could be a test. Alright? The verse is gone. The kuffar may be receiving that, but it's not a blessing. So the blessings of this dunya, they don't require this. The true blessings require this. The true blessings require ham. The last point, I know you're tired. It's a technical one. We'll see how much we can understand. We need to give you the peak, the climax hadith about ham. You can understand it. The true blessing is the blessing of guidance. The Rahim in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is special blessing, and it's guidance. And guidance, brothers and sisters, is not just a concept that you get in the Holy Quran. Muslims and Kafirs all have access to that. There's another form of guidance that is internal guidance. Some people, they read these verses, they increase in faith a lot quicker. Some of us read it 50 times, nothing happens. Doesn't click. That's the internal guidance. That's the true guidance. That's the true blessing. For this form of blessing, this is a form of blessing that someone has got to choose to accept. If someone does not choose to accept it, it is not. No matter how long you provided for it, the Quran was there for all of the kuffar, right? They all read it, they understood it. They didn't accept it. That was the problem. It was provided for them, they didn't accept it. This form of blessing has got to be accepted by the person. So you have to acknowledge the source and acknowledge this blessing coming from him for you to be able to receive that blessing. So you can realize that actually, you know what? Alhamdulillah makes us ready to receive the true blessings of Allah. Instead of buttering God up to give it to us, this Alhamdulillah prepares us to receive the right blessing, if we understand it. And there is this beautiful hadith, I'm going to end with this. Imam Sadiq sallallahu alayhi says, okay, if you're that tired, how tired should I be? Says, man hamadallah ala ni'amah faqad shakara. Whoever does hamd upon a blessing, they have thanked Allah. We have this concept. But the new one is here. He says, وَكَانَ الْحَمْدُ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ تِلْكَ النَّعْمَةِ. The hand that this person does is better than that blessing. Question came to my mind, wait a second, we have plenty of ahadith that tell us no matter how much you thank Allah, you cannot thank Him for even one single blessing, the smallest one you can think of. You cannot thank God for it. This one says, your hand is better than that. How does that make sense? Reason is, that this hand is itself a blessing that is better than the previous blessing. The blessing of hamd, brothers and sisters, it's a blessing on us. We're not helping God. This praise is only preparing our hearts to be receptive of the blessing that He wants to give us. That's the only thing He has. It only blesses us. That's the verse of the Holy Quran said. It cannot. It has nothing to do with Inna Allah Ghaniyyun Hamid. You can worship for 2 billion years. It's not going to help God. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month, on this blessed night, by the right of the shaheed of this month, to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of His close companions. You don't want to say the Ameen out loud so we can get du'as responded to. We ask you, Allah, to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask you to help us prepare for and become the true companions of our Imam. Allah, we ask you to prolong the life of and give good health to all of our Maraja and especially our leader. We ask you to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam. Allah, we ask you from the bottom of our hearts, by the rights of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Prophet, that you forgive us all of our sins. You enable us to worship you the way we're supposed to. We ask you to forgive our parents, all those who taught us the word of Islam on their sins. Allah, there's a lot of people under hardship, especially people that are facing the flood in Pakistan and India, people who are facing other difficulties like in the occupied land. We ask you to relieve them of these difficulties. Allah, there's a lot of people under oppression, different forms, physical, intellectual. We ask you, by the coming of the Imam, to relieve them all of the oppression.